Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you guys for being here today. My name is Jacob, and I get to be the student pastor here at Grace River. So I get to pastor our middle school and our high school students. And so before I jump into, that's what I'm talking about. Before I jump into today's message, just something really quick for you. This Thursday, we actually kick off a brand new semester in student ministry. We meet every single Thursday from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Again, it's for all middle school and high school students. If that is something that you want to be a part of, make sure that you show up this Thursday, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. I hope to see you there. But as far as today goes, we are in the middle of a sermon series called The Life That You've Always Wanted. And so before we go any further, I want to give a special shout out to those of you that are here taking the three-week challenge. Because if you were here at Christmas, we challenged everybody that was here to come back for the next 3 weeks and see what God could do in your life. Even if you're not a church person, even if you have some differing opinions about Jesus and this Messiah and the God that we just finished singing about, like, no matter what your belief is about God, I want you to know, first of all, I'm glad that you're here today. I hope that you're able to take something from today's message and apply it to your life. But I also want you to know that you're always welcomed here at Grace River. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been. You belong here at Grace River. And so, again, it's week two of the three-week challenge. Make sure that you come back next week. Again, watch what God could do in your life. As we go ahead into 2026, we're already a few days. We've already got a few days under our belt, and so I hope that 2026 has been a great first 11 days for you, but if not, that's also okay. I'm just so glad that you're here. I hope that for every single one of you, you are able to walk out of here with some next steps on what it looks like to gain a little bit more margin in your life, which is the very thing that we're going to be talking about. Again, it might not sound like the most spiritual practice in the world, but I can promise you that I think that for a lot of us, it may actually be the thing that's missing from your life. Like the margin that you don't have that you wish that you had. Like that is the life that you've always wanted. And so throughout this series, we're talking about the life that you dream of, the life that you've always wanted, and how to actually give there, how to actually get there. How do you practically live that out? And so again, we're going to be talking about margin, but before we do that, I think that there's this tension that I want to break us free from as we get into today's message. And it's this tension that if you grew up in church, I grew up in church since third grade. If you've grown up in church, maybe from being a little kid all the way till now, or maybe you've been in church for a while, but you weren't in church as a kid. I think that there's a danger, actually, that we may know a lot of the Bible, but we don't live it out. Would you say that's true for your life? I'm not going to ask you to vocalize that, but think about it in your life. Like, you may know a ton about Scripture. You may be the smartest Bible nerd in this room. Like, I could tell you to turn to a random book in the Bible and you'd get there faster than anybody. You can spit off some random facts about some Old Testament person, but I'll tell you this, that there is power in the practice. The power is not in knowledge, it is in the practice. And so today I want to talk to you about something that may not sound very spiritual, but again, it may be the thing that's missing from your life. I want to talk about margin, and I want to talk about how you can experience a peace that will settle your soul. Because here's the reality. I think that if we continue to practice the way of the culture, we're going to continue to get the results of culture. And as I look around at culture, there are five things that I'm seeing. These are the five things that I see in culture right now. People are stressed, they're burned out, they're anxious, they're always tired and always behind. Is that you? Is that you? If you're honest with yourself, stressed out, burned out, anxious, always tired, and always behind. If you can relate to any of those, I would tell you, you're not alone. You're in the majority. I find myself defined by a lot of these things. So if we want to approach 2026 not being labeled by these things, if we want January 1st, 2027 to arrive and for us to say, man, that was an amazing year that wasn't marked out by stressed out, burned out, anxious, always tired, and always behind kind of attitudes, something's got to change, right? Because if that was a defining characteristic of your 2025, you can't expect different results if you continue to do the same things. Something has to break, right? And so if you're going to continue on in that pattern, you better expect the exact same result. But I don't think that anybody in this room wants that for their lives. I know I don't. And I would tell you, God doesn't want that for your life either. The life that you've always wanted begins with what you do with the time that you have left. I have it up here on the screen. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. The life that you've always wanted begins with what you do with the time that you have left. Not the time that you can't control, not the responsibilities that you can't change, but the time that remains. To put this into perspective for you, every single person in the room gets 24 hours in their day, correct? This is easy. This is a yes or no, and you say, yes. Yes, we all have 24 hours in our day. If you have 24, or if you have 25, that's really crazy, and I want to be like you. I would love that extra hour, but that's not the reality of our life. Like, we all have 24 hours in our day. It's time is a fixed thing. What you choose to do with that time is a different story, though. And so let's do some quick math here. I know that a lot of you guys love math. I know that I liked math way more than English and reading and all of that boring stuff. Science, hated that. Social studies, that's the worst. I don't like social studies. If you like social studies, you're weird. But doing some quick math, my favorite subject in school. You get 7 to 8 hours of sleep, hopefully, right? Some of you might get less. Some of you may get more. The teenagers during summer, you get a lot more, huh? All the parents are like, yeah, they get too much sleep. And then you got 8 to 10 hours of work a day. Like, work is a non-negotiable. You have to go to work. You have to provide for your family. And then you have 2 to 3 hours for dinner, commuting back and forth to work, getting ready, kids, life. I'm just going to allot 2 to 3 hours for that. Again, for you, it might be a little less. For you, it might be a little bit more. But with the framework that I'm giving here, that equals out to about 19 hours of your 24 hours that are non-negotiable. Gone. You can't do anything about it. You have to sleep. You have to work. You have to eat. You have to do normal life. Like, there are some non-negotiables to your day-to-day. So that leaves you with about 5 hours of your day that you have left. And again, that's being generous. I think that for a lot of you, if you were to assess your day-to-day, you would actually have less than that. But for the sake of this illustration, I want to use this five. We have 5 hours in our day left. That 5 hours is the margin that you have left in your day. What you decide to do with those 5 hours, though, will either leave you filled, encouraged, joyful, happy at the end of the day, or they're going to leave you completely drained. And I fear that for far too many of us, we spend those 5 hours doing some things that may be good, but they're not all that important. Like, it's all about priorities for a second. Think about, what are the biggest priorities in your life? I hope that you would say, number one is Jesus. That you would develop your relationship with Jesus. That's your first and most important priority here on this earth. The second, if you're married, is that you would develop your relationship with your spouse. That you would grow closer to your relationship with your spouse. And then third is your relationship with your kids. And so as you look at those 5 hours in your day, I think that if you're honest with yourself, if you were to pen to paper what your day-to-day looks like, how you fill the margin of your day, you would say, a lot of us, you're doing some things that are good. Like, they're good things, but they're not necessary things. Like, They may be good things, but they're not that important whenever you realize that your marriage is on the rocks. Like, they may be good things, but you realize that your relationship with your wife has now become your roommate. Your spouse has become your roommate, and you're over here doing the exact same thing that you've been doing, and you're wondering why your relationship sucks. It's all about priorities. And in the same way, your relationship with your kids. Like, you want a better relationship with your kids? Invest your time into your kids. Some of us are so caught up in things that are good, but they're not that important whenever it comes to the top three things that are in our life, right? And so what I want to do is I want to challenge you throughout today's talk to maybe even go home today. And for me, I like to visualize the things that I like to track. I do a budget every week, and I track every single cent that leaves our bank account. And Hannah, she's not the biggest fan of it, but that's what I do because I manage what matters to me. If your time matters to you, manage it better. And if you're going to manage it, you have to know it. You can't manage something that you don't know. Some of us were just flying by the seat of our pants, just trying to get to 9 o'clock, whenever our bedtime is, and then we're going to wake up the next day and we're just going to do this repeat cycle. But you have to manage the things that matter the most to you. I would tell you, it is a good practice for you to write down what your day looks like. What are the things that you're committed to? What's your screen time? Like, what are the things that consume your energy? And then I want you to compare them to the priorities that are in your life. What's suffering in your life? Like, what's hurting? Is it your relationship with your spouse? Is it your relationship with your kids? Is it your relationship with Jesus? Like, what is being sacrificed for you to focus on this thing that, again, it may be good, but it's not all that important? And so what I want us to do is I want us to look at some practical ways, some important things that we need to know if we're going to live the life that we've always wanted whenever it comes to margin and a peace that settles our soul. Like, I want us to talk about how we're going to get there. But right now, we recognize maybe for you that there's something that needs to change in your life. Today, I want to give you three truths about margin. The first one is that margin begins when you accept your limits. Margin begins when you accept your limits. I would tell you that one of the most unspiritual things that you can do is to pretend like you are limitless. Like, you have limits. You're human. Scripture is clear throughout all of the Bible that, like, you and I are human. You and I are not perfect. We are not some superhero with infinite energy. Like, that's just not the reality of how God has wired us up. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4:16, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. You're not some superhuman. Your body has limits. Your energy has limits. Your emotional capacity has limits. And listen, your limits are not something to be ashamed of. Your limits are actually a gift from God. If you ignore them, you don't become more spiritual, you become more exhausted. And some of you are exhausted today because you've completely ignored your limits for far too long. And when I say far too long, for some of you, you've ignored your limits for years now, that it has become the norm in your life. You're like, what is margin? I've never even considered that that could be the reality of my life. Because I've been working 75 hours a week, and my family has just been put on the back burner, and that's just the way that it is because I have to make a life for them. Like, I got to send my kids to college. I got to do X, Y, and Z. And if I don't do all of those things, my kids are going to suffer. My wife, my husband is going to suffer. And you think that everything in this world is going to come crashing down if you stop. Can I tell you, there is a rhythm of rest that God has wired you to have. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore what God is trying to put into your life. So look at the life of Jesus. Even Jesus accepted his limits. Mark 1:35 says that before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and he went out to an isolated place to pray. Like, people were waiting on Jesus. They knew the power that was within the body of Jesus. People were sick, people were broken, people needed healing, and they knew that if they could just get to Jesus, then there may be a little hope that they wouldn't be sick, hurting, and broken anymore. So people would hear about the healings of Jesus and the power and the miraculous things that Jesus was doing, and they would want to be around him. But notice, Jesus found a way to get away. Like, I believe that if Jesus was living in modern day America, 2026, O'Fallon, Missouri, like, the guy could work overtime, getting paid time and a half all that he wanted, but he didn't. Like, he could have, but he didn't. He recognized the fact that he needed to get away, that he needed to slow down. Jesus wasn't so obsessed with fulfilling his potential. He was committed to fulfilling his purpose. He was committed to fulfilling his purpose. Can I tell you, you and I have a purpose. And your purpose here on this earth is to do two things. It's to love God and to love others. Why you exist? Love God and love others. And I would tell you, you can't do that in a rush. Like, you cannot receive love in a rush, and you cannot give love in a rush. Think about your spouse for just a moment. If you're dating somebody, think about the person that you're dating. Like, the person that you're dating, the person that you're married to, if you want to receive love, you have to slow down. And if you want to give love, you have to slow down. Like, slowing down is an instrumental part of living. And I fear that for far too many of us, we've ignored it. And it's time that we get back to that. And so you have to slow down, which leads me to point two. Margin grows when you slow your pace of life. Can I confess something to you? I can tell you how my soul is doing based off of my attitude in Costco. Anybody else with me? Like, I love Costco. Who loves Costco in the room? Some of you like Sam's and you're weird. It's fine. Costco's better. But I love Costco. I'll tell you this. I love the idea of Costco. And then I get into Costco and I have a bad attitude. Because I go into Costco on a mission. And some of you, maybe it's not you, maybe it's just the rest of St. Charles County, you like to go into Costco and you like to sightsee. It's like the Grand Canyon. You've never seen a 75-inch TV before and you're like, oh man, those colors are so pretty. You're like, who cares? It's a TV. Go buy it on Black Friday. Like, stop oohing and awing over this TV. You have your cart in the middle of the aisle like it's a family reunion, and I'm like, please get out of the way. I got somewhere to be. And I just get this bad attitude every single time that I'm in there. The worst is the people that hand out the samples are in the worst spots. Like, go to the back of the store where nobody is. Go where the toilet paper and the paper towels are. Get out of the way of the walkway. Like, you're annoying me. People stop and they're like, oh, this Cheese Whiz is good. Like, no, it's not. They are giving you samples of things that they want off of their shelves, because they're not all that good. Smoked salmon. I went in there the other day and they had smoked salmon. I'm like, this is terrible. Get out of the way. Again, I have a heart problem. I recognize it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. I'm like Taylor Swift. Like, I got it. It's not you that's the problem. It's me. But just know that I get really annoyed if you're one of the sightseers in Costco, one of the walkers. Fun story. I was buying snacks and drinks for student ministry on a Thursday, like a year ago, and we have this student merch that says Jesus over everything. And whenever I'm in Costco, again, I'm on a mission. I drive like a bat out of hell. I am weaving in and out of traffic, and people are like, "Whoa, that guy, he's on a mission. He's ready to go somewhere." And then they see on the back of my shirt, Jesus over everything. I'm like, I've learned I'm just not going to wear any Jesus shirts at Costco anymore, because I just got a bad attitude every time I'm in there, and people aren't going to ever come to faith in Jesus because they're like, oh, this is what Christians do. It's very, very, very similar to you 99.1 Joy FM stickered people on your car. It's like, it's not a good thing. You should probably take that sticker off. And I'll just tell you right now, we as a church are committed to never having Grace River stickers because some of you aren't good drivers. Including Chris Ifill, and he's not here so I can talk bad about him, right? He's number one on the list. I get scared every time I'm in the car with Chris. But I don't know where I was in my sermon, so here we go. I was talking about Costco. Here's the point that I'm trying to make. I would tell you, Costco didn't do that to me. My pace did at the end of the day. Like, that's not a Costco issue. That's a Jacob issue. And maybe you can relate to me. Like, your pace is way too fast to the point where normal everyday behavior becomes an interruption. Like, it's time, guys, that we slow down just a little bit. Slowing down is not a sinful thing. Slowing down is biblical. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Notice, it does not say be productive, be efficient, be impressive. It says be still. Being still for just a moment. Slowing down is not laziness. It's biblical. Some of the guys in the room, I'm going to speak to the men. We think that our entire family, it rests, the success of our family, it rests on our shoulders. Like, if I dare take 2 hours off, if I take a Sunday off, everything is going to come crumbling down. That's not the reality. That's not truth. Like, God has wired us up to be people of rest. Not every single day. Like, there is a difference if you're like, "Oh, Jacob said I need to rest," and you decide that you're going to take 7 days of rest and never work. That's the extreme opposite, and you have another problem on your hands that I'm not going to speak about in this message. Like, don't be lazy. Don't be a lazy loser. But if you're just working all the time, if you're just doing and never stopping, there's a problem. Slowing down is not lazy, it's biblical. The third thing is that margin is revealed by what you do with the time that you have left. As I mentioned earlier, the time that you have left is your margin, and your margin is where, at the end of the day, you will find yourself either filled or drained. It's where you will experience peace or anxiety. So many of us in 2025, we used our margin as a time to go and do some things that aren't all that important, and it's left us drained. And so I want you to ask yourself, like, first and foremost, there's a few questions that I want to ask you today. You can write these down. They're not going to be up on the screen. How many hours do you have left in your day? Like, what is your margin? Is it 5 hours? Is it 3 hours? Is it 7 hours? Like, I don't know what that is for you, but it is going to require you to maybe pen to paper and look at some of the things that you do, some of the things that you're committed to. Write those things down, and then I want to ask you this question: what do you do with that margin? What do you do with those hours? And then the third question that I want to ask you, is there space for God to restore your soul? Is there space for God to restore your soul? Jesus gives us an invitation in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He will give you rest. If you want to experience rest, what do you have to do? We go back to the first three words here. Come to me. That word "come" is in the present tense. It's not past tense, it's in the present tense. Not come later. Don't come when things slow down. Don't come when your life is less exhausting. Like, come as you are. Come in your exhaustion and your pain and your brokenness and your hurt. Come to me, and what? I will give you rest. But I fear that for a lot of us, like, we haven't created margin in our day to come to Jesus. I'm going to say this, and it may hurt, and I mean this with as much love as I can possibly say it. Like, if you were to show God your calendar, it might explain to you why your soul is the way that it is. if you were to show God your calendar, it might explain to you why your soul is the way that it is. I think that for so many of us, like, we want this idea of rest. For some of us, it's so foreign because for years we've neglected rest, and it sounds nice as we listen to it as we're sitting here today. We're like, yeah, I want rest. I want the rest that comes from Jesus. But we haven't even learned how to be with Jesus. Like, there's a problem here. You want rest, but you haven't learned how to be with Jesus. This isn't about shame. This isn't about earning God's love, guys. This is about alignment. I would tell you that rest can be found in you evaluating your day and your week to say, maybe there are some things that I'm doing that aren't that important, right? As you begin to look at the most important things in your life, you begin to recognize that your spouse has now become your roommate and you're still over here doing the thing that you love doing because it's just the thing that brings you joy. But your marriage is on the rocks. Like, there's an issue here. And you have to realize that real rest doesn't come from anything other than the person of Jesus. It's about a relationship. Ultimately, like, you can assess your day-to-day and your week-to-week, but if you want real rest, it begins with you accepting this invitation, come to me. I'll tell you right now, like, Jesus is kind, but he will not compete with hurry. He won't compete with it. Like, if you're going to continue to go 100 miles an hour, he's going to let you. He's going to surely let that happen. But when you recognize that it's time to come back, I'll tell you, he's not going to welcome you with arms crossed. He's there to welcome you with arms that are open, saying, hey, I'm glad that you've received this invitation to come back to me. So here's the good news. You don't need more time. You don't need a different season. You don't need to quit your job and move to a monastery. Like, I'm not saying that you need to do any of those things, but what I am saying is that there is power in the practice of Matthew 11, verse 28. There's power in the practice. Like, you know what you need to do, but knowing doesn't always lead to change. Like, you have to power, there's power in the practice. Like, you have to practice the thing that you know. Come to Jesus. But to come to Jesus, you have to slow down enough to receive the very thing that he's offering to you. And so for you, maybe this week slowing down and coming to Jesus looks like one of these four things, or maybe it's multiple of these four things. Number one, whispering a simple prayer. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Like, guys, this is a sign of dependence. I think that a lot of us were prideful in our ways, saying, I don't need God. Like, I can, through a lot of hard work, I can get from point A to point B. The life that I've always wanted will happen by my hard work. Can I tell you, the life that you've always wanted comes when you recognize the fact that you need God. You in your own power will never get to where you want to be. You have to become dependent on God. And I don't know what your relationships are like in this life. I don't know the relationship that you have with your spouse, with your kids, with your coworkers, with anybody that's in your life. But here's what I do know is that the relationships, the interpersonal relationships, the people that you see eye to eye every single day, they will fail you because they're human. I, a pastor here, will fail you because I'm human. Your spouse will fail you because they are human. Your kids will fail you because they are human. Can I tell you the person that will never fail you? God. He'll never fail you. And because of that, he's worth depending on. You can depend on him, saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. The second thing that you can do is open scripture and let it set the pace of your day. When you open scripture and you don't just read the words to acquire more brain knowledge, but you allow it to transform your heart, everything in your life changes. Again, there's power in the practice. If you're just opening the Bible to learn more about God, but you're not allowing it to change you, there's a problem. I would also tell you that the that the Bible, the script, like scripture, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It never returns void. And so when you open scripture, be prepared for it to convict you, for it to change you. It will point out some sin in your life that you're ashamed of, and praise God for it, because when you enter into the presence of Jesus, you walk away changed. If you want to continue the life that you had in 2025, continue doing the things that you were doing. But if you want to be a different person in 2026, soak up scripture. Let it be the root and the foundation of your life. Nothing else in this life matters more than what you do with the scriptures. Like that dusty Bible on the shelf, dust it off in 2026. Soak yourself up in that word. Let it change you. Let it mold you. Let it transform you. There's power in the practice. The third thing is putting down one burden and saying, Jesus, this is yours. Like, I don't know the burden that you come in these back doors carrying. Some of you, you carry a burden that is so dark and so deep that you would be led to so much shame if anybody in this room found out. But you also feel like there's just like this glowing light on you, like everybody's looking at you as you walk around and they're like, that person's struggling, that person is dealing with some sin, that person is going through something that is pretty shameful. Like, no, that's not how it works. But if you would recognize the pain and the burden that you're carrying and simply come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you can have it all. Like, Jesus, take this from me. What that does is that says that you're ready to surrender the thing that's held you down for so long. Again, surrender is such a powerful thing for you to recognize, God, I need you. Now, would you take this? God, this is all yours. This burden that I carry, I've been carrying for far too long. Maybe for you, you need to say no to something good so that you can say yes to the thing that God is asking of you. You look at the margin of your day, those 5 hours, those 3 hours, 7 hours that you have. You're like, man, I don't want to stop doing that. Like, I've been doing it for so long, whether it's good or bad. Like, I don't want to stop. It's become a habit in my life. It's time that you say no to that thing so that you can say yes to the thing that God is asking of you. When you follow Jesus, it's complete surrender to say, Jesus, whatever you want from my life, I'm following. And you can't follow after God's will and his plan for your life if you have no margin for him. And I would tell you, don't let God become a part of your life. Let him become your life. Every part of your life. Let him bleed into your work. Let him bleed into your relationships. Let him bleed into the scenarios that you're really ashamed of. Let him infiltrate every aspect of your life. But if you recognize through assessing your priorities that something that I'm doing isn't as important as this thing, say no to it. Can I tell you that the Spirit of God gives you the power of self-control? You can do this. You can do this. It seems impossible to say no to the thing that has become a habit in your life, but you can do this through the power of God at work in your life. We all want margin. We all want this peace that changes our souls. Like, it sounds nice. I want you to know that it's not impossible. And what you choose to do with that margin is incredibly, incredibly important. Like, if you want real rest, guys, if you want a rest that will change you from the inside out, a rest that will soothe your soul, can I lean in for just a moment and tell you, you cannot find that through a bottle, through a pill, or through a hookup. You can find it through one person and one person only, and it's the person of Jesus Christ. Stop trying to find peace and rest in anything other than the person of Jesus. Would you receive this invitation that he's extending to every single person that's in this room? Come to me. And I know that for some of you, you hear that invitation that we read about in Matthew 28, verse 11, and you say, Jesus is saying, come to me, but I'm way too sinful. I'm way too messed up. I'm way too dumb to come to Jesus. Can I just remind you that everything that you've ever done in this life, every sin that you've ever committed has been paid for on that cross by the precious blood of Jesus. That thing that you feel is keeping you away from God has been covered by the blood of Jesus. That invitation is for every single one of you, even the person that's in the room that feels so undeserving. You feel so undeserving of it? Receive this invitation. Come to me. And you know what the promise is that we read about? You will find rest for your souls. When you come to Jesus, let me remind you one last time, he does not welcome you with arms crossed. Some of you, you've gotten in trouble, and the person that is disciplining you, your father, your mother, somebody that you love, they've greeted you like this, and you feel so much shame. You're like, man, I done messed up. Can I tell you, Jesus, he welcomes you with open arms. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Can I pray for you today? God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the promise that we read about in Scripture, that you will give us rest. I pray for the person that's in the room that is tired, that is broken, that is hurting, the one that is just exhausted, running on fumes as they come into church today. Would they come to you, God, in this moment? Would they do whatever it takes to come to you, to lay something down, to be a person of prayer, to be a person of Scripture, God? Would we be people that accept this invitation? That we don't just look at this invitation, but that we would open it, that we would receive it, and that we would come to you knowing that the promise on the other side is rest. God, we need rest in 2026. Help us understand that it can't be found in anything other than you. So I pray for that person that has no margin for you. Would they create some margin to allow you to become their life, not just a part of their life? God, we need you more in 2026. We cannot do 2026 on our own. We need you. And we know that you are a good God that does all things for our good and for your glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope that you would receive that invitation today. Come to me. Come to Jesus this week. I don't know what that looks like in your life, but receive that invitation. If you would, stand with me today. Thank you guys so much for being here. If you call Grace River Church your home, I want to speak to you for just a moment. If you feel led and if you feel inclined to give today, you can tap the dot on the back of the seat in front of you, or you can give to the offering drop boxes in the back. Thank you for your generosity. It's because of your generosity. We don't just keep lights on in this building, but we have the opportunity to see people come to faith in Jesus. Amen? Amen. You guys have an amazing week. We'll see you back here for week 3 of the life that you've always wanted next Sunday.